Let's start in an unusual spot. A lot of you have read probably Charles Dickens' story that's called The Christmas Story, or seen plays of it or whatever. In that story, there's a character called Scrooge, and he's visited by the ghost of his partner, who wears chains of cash boxes, keys, padlocks, ledgers, deeds, and heavy purses. And when he was asked what the chains meant, his partner said, "I wear the chains I forged in life," replied the ghost. "I made it link by link and yard by yard. I girded it on of my own free will. And of my own free will I wear it." Is this pattern strange to you? And it's just a story. But Dickens had a point that he wanted to get across that was actually biblically based. You see, people carry burdens with them that they made of their own free will. For instance, in the story, basically, is about wanting to get rich. And Paul warns in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6 and in verse 9. "But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." The desire to be rich becomes a trap. And it's not the only trap that we could fall into. Solomon warns about the trap of anger. Take a look at Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22 and in verse 24. "Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you'll learn his ways and find a snare for yourselves." The reason that we as Christians have been asked, in fact commanded, to teach other people is to help them out of that trap. The trap of sin and the bondage that it creates. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And in verse 24. "The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will." That's our job. But what seems to be sad is I've run across so many Christians who go back to the sins that they've left. Take a look at Matthew chapter 13. It's a parable about the sower. In Matthew 13 and in verse 22. It says, "And the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of rich wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." Notice that worrying and basically the lies of wealth, that somehow wealth is going to solve all your problems, ends up choking out God's word. Jesus warns that we can't look back once we become his disciples. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, Jesus said to him, "No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. My grandpa used to talk about the days when you used to, you know, go and take that plow and you just walked it down the field. You can't be looking at the rows and saying, you know, look how good I'm doing. Because as soon as you start looking down there, you start deviating instead of making straight furrows. You have to look at where you're going. Jesus is saying, we can't be looking back. We can't be looking back at where we've been. We have to look forward in order to be fit for God's kingdom. The Israelites had that problem in Numbers chapter 11. When things got tough, they started looking back. In Numbers 11 and in verse 5, we remember the fish which we used to eat free in Egypt, the cucumbers and melons, the leeks and onions and garlic. But now our appetite is gone, and there's nothing at all to look at except this manna. What was the problem? Yes, they were looking back, but they weren't looking back accurately. They look back and say, oh, look at the free food we had. Well, they're getting free food right now. Yeah, but we got variety back then. You had slavery back then, too. And they kind of skipped over that problem. We do the same thing when we look back in our lives. We look with a filter and only see certain things. Now, this is not to say that we are to continue in sin. In fact, Paul says in Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, and in verse 1, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? We can't stay in our past. We left sins. We have to leave them behind. Because those sins make us slaves. Take a look at John chapter 8 and verse 34. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. And yet too many people wear the chains of their sins. I can't tell you how many people are worried about things they've done in their distant past. And oh, will God ever forgive me of that? Will God ever let me go of those? And it doesn't matter that they were baptized and became Christians. It doesn't matter that they have asked God for forgiveness. They can't let go of their sins. Worse are some people, they see their sins as a badge of honor in some way. They're proud of the fact that they sinned. And they won't let go of their sins. But Christianity is about changing. And changing then means that we need to remove the chains that are on us. Take a look what the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Lay aside those sins. Put off the chains that are binding you down. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, and in verse 22, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with lust of deceit. Lay them aside. Put them off. It's an old life. We shouldn't be staying in that life. Or again in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. We have to consider our old life as dead. We're free from that. It's no longer a part of who we are. And from our scripture reading, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and starting with verse 5. Therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them, but now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices. We became Christians. We changed. Show that change in your life. Let go of the sins of the past. But there's other traps that we got to watch out for. It's not just sins. I've run across a lot of people. I've had so many discussions with people who are focused on the past because they doubt that they really changed. It's triggered by sins. If I sin so badly just now, well, then maybe I never really was saved before. And it starts out this chain of just constantly examining the past, looking for some flaw. I must have done something wrong. Was my baptism done right? I don't know how many times I get those questions. I don't know if I was really thinking about repentance when I went under the water. So maybe I didn't really repent. I wasn't certain I did this right. I didn't understand this. And they start doubting whether they really were saved. Another type is sometimes run about people, I think I might have made a promise. And I find this fascinating. They're not even sure if the promise was made. But I was thinking about this. I might have promised God this. Every flaw is sought or out imagined. The memory of the past is changed to match with whatever is the current concern. And they're never certain. They live a life full of doubt and guilt, and they can't let it go. Now consider what's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, starting with verse 1. Therefore, leaving the elementary teachings about Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of instruction about washings and laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we'll do if God permits. is not that any of these topics are unimportant. They're all important. But we can't keep revisiting the past. I can't keep looking at my baptism and say, did I do it right? I'm trying to relay the foundations again. I should be growing. I need to repent. I need to change my attitude towards sin. Do I need to keep re-examining that? Or do I need to keep moving on? See, there's no growth when a person's locked in the past. They're constantly relaying that foundation. And you see people sometimes being baptized 4 or 5 times because they just never get past the past. We have to focus on where we're going, not where we've been. We have to no longer live for ourselves. We live because Christ gave us life. In Galatians chapter 2, and in verse 20, Galatians 2 and verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. It's not my life anymore. I belong to Christ. And so we forget the past. And we focus on where we're going. Paul mentions this again in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3 verse 13. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I have some place to go. I have some place I need to focus on. The past is over with. I can't change the past. It is what it is. But I can change my future. But I only can do that by focusing on where I'm going and not where I've been. I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. For those who are children of God and would like the prayers of your brethren on your behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.